and the forests abound with desire trees. Material eyes see it as an ordinary place. Purport. By the grace of the Lord, his Dhammas and he himself can all be present simultaneously without losing their original importance. Only when one fully develops an affection and love of Godhead can one see those Dhammas in their original appearance. Actually, years ago, Hari Griva Prabhu, my godbrother, went to Vrindavan for the first time, and he was being shown around by Achyutananda Swami. And he was questioning Prabhupada about how can this place be spiritual? It just seems like a kind of a dirty village. And so Prabhupada began to explain to him that what you're seeing with materially conditioned eyes, but those who are spiritually elevated, they can see the original aspect of the Dham. So what you're seeing is on one level. On another level, the eternal pastimes of Krishna are being enacted there, and the Dham is a very powerful spiritual place full of potency. So much so that in one conversation that I know that he held in his room in Vrindavan, he mentioned that even the animals, even people who misbehave in the Dham, become animals in their next life. But in that life, he said, they're forcibly purified and they go back to Godhead. Or they are, well, of course, in one sense, they are back to Godhead, but at least they become liberated after one more birth as animals. So that has the Dham has many potencies. And its original aspect cannot be seen when one's in the conditioned state of consciousness. So that's the first point. Prabhupada goes on in the purport here. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya in the preceptorial line of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has said for our benefit that one can perfectly see the Dhams only when one completely gives up the mentality of lording it over material nature. One's spiritual vision develops proportionately to one's giving up the debased mentality of unnecessarily enjoying matter. It's interesting he uses the word debased mentality. It's actually the attitude towards this material world of trying to enjoy it is considered to be debased or degraded attitude. So we can all possibly hold up our hands to that one. It says a diseased person who has become diseased because of a certain bad habit must be ready to follow the advice of the physician. And as a natural sequence, he must attempt to give up the cause of the disease. The patient cannot indulge in the bad habit and at the same time expect to be cured by the physician. Modern material civilization, however, is maintaining a diseased atmosphere. The living being is a spiritual spark, as spiritual as the Lord himself. The only difference is that the Lord is great and the living being is small. Qualitatively, they are one, but quantitatively, they are different. Therefore, since the living being is spiritual in constitution, he can be happy only in the spiritual sky where there are unlimited spiritual spheres called Vaikunthas. A spiritual being conditioned by a material body must therefore try to get rid of his disease instead of developing the cause of the disease. Foolish persons engrossed in their material assets are unnecessarily proud of being leaders of the people, but they ignore the spiritual value of man. Such illusion leaders make plans covering any number of years, but they can hardly make humanity happy in a state conditioned by threefold miseries inflicted by material nature. One cannot control the laws of nature by any amount of struggling. One must, at last, be subject to death. Nature's ultimate law. Death, birth, old age, and illness are symptoms of the disease condition of the living being. The highest aim of human life should therefore be to get free from these miseries and go back home, back to Godhead. So this is a wonderful, as usual, a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. As mentioned before, we're talking here about the nature of the spiritual world and how, it, as it states in the verse, materialize, see it as an ordinary place. So, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya guna surupam govindamadi purusham tamahang vajami. So, premanjana charita. Without the eyes being smeared with the salve of love of Godhead, it's not possible to see these things as described by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. Then Prabhupada mentions this song by Narottam Das Thakur, which begins with the line, Goranga bolite habe bulaka shari. So he talks about how, because of addiction to material sense gratification, we've been conditioned by so many thousands and millions of births to seek satisfaction of the senses. So it's like it's a bad habit. Prabhupada talks about, in this purport, he talks about habit, that a disease that has come about because of a certain bad habit. So what is that bad habit? That bad habit is to see the creation as an object for my enjoyment. So we are very much conditioned to approach this world, the mind, materially conditioned mind, accepting and rejecting on the basis of sense gratification. Oh, this is favorable for my sense gratification. Oh, this is not favorable. I reject that. And this is a very long-standing habit. And some of you may have, at least I know I have, some very bad habits. Of course, this habit everyone has. This habit of approaching the world as though it was meant for my enjoyment. So, but even if we can understand, like somebody may have a bad habit, like, let's say, biting their nails or something like that. And maybe they've been doing it for a very long time. So sometimes even unconsciously, even though they're trying not to, they find themselves doing it. So it means because of long habituation, certain tendencies are very hard to overcome. So this habit of approaching matter as something that is meant for my enjoyment, this is very deeply rooted in the heart, conditioned by so many lives, indulging in sense pleasure. So it's not easy to give it up. So the holy name is extremely powerful, and this is Namashaudi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the medicine is this Nam, holy name of the Lord. So this is the medicine, but despite taking our, we know that we have to take that medicine, but sometimes we are a little lax. It says here, the patient cannot indulge in the bad habit and at the same time expect to be cured by the physician. And it talks about material civilization being a diseased atmosphere. So this is what we're up against. So sometimes, you know, we hear a lot about, I've heard whole many classes given about all the different kinds of anartas. You know, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur identifies about 20 different anartas, all based, you know, and he talks about Krishna's pastimes, how different specific pastimes, meditating on them can help overcome these anartas. And then we have nam aparad, guru aparad, seva aparad, dham aparad. There's so many things there's so many places you can go wrong. And sometimes when we hear a lot of these type of classes, we we get a little bit discouraged. We think, well, it sounds like an impossible proposal to me. What hope is there for somebody like me? Well, I thought, well, maybe I could aim this class a little more about some of the more hopeful aspects. Since I know I've heard plenty about the classes that made me think, well, there's not much chance. Of course, in one sense, thinking like that I'm so fallen and so wretched, that what chance is there for me to become Krishna conscious? So sometimes we think like that. You know, I'm chanting, but I don't seem to be getting very far. But I've come across a number of things that are very hopeful statements. Now, one thing is about chanting. Since we know that chanting Hare Krishna is the key, I found this nice section. This is from a morning walk that took place in San Francisco in 1968. Prabhupada's talking about the eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which discusses some aspects of yoga practice. And so here he made these statements, and I hope you'll appreciate them. I found them wonderful. And he gives a formula for how to chant the holy name. You know, there's been a lot of classes or seminars, I understand, about, you know, japa reform and how to improve your japa, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is a nice formula. It's just coming up. Anyway, this is what he said on this morning walk. He says, yes, practically everything depends on practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Bhagavad Gita 8:8. Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga means yoga practice. Practice it. So this whole Krishna consciousness movement is to practice transferring from one kind of consciousness to another. So we require practice. Just like one man can run a few miles. I cannot run even 1 mile. He has practiced. We see some boys, they run on. They practice. Practice it. Strength of the heart is increased by practice. So this is a nice point. The heart becomes the heart, the desire, the determination is strengthened by practice. So that's one of the main points of practice, that we become habituated to that. And the heart, it says the strength of the heart is increased by practice. And if I run, my heart will be palpitating because I have no practice. So by practice, everything can be attained. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Determination. So the process is recommended. He's talking about some of the processes recommended for the transcendentalist yogis. He says, they're very valuable, but it is not possible to follow them all in the present age because everything is reducing. So our method, so let me read that again. He says that all these different practices, not possible to follow them all in the present age because everything is reducing. Kali Yuga, all the good qualities, all of the various aspects are on the wane. So our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength. That's all. Otherwise, by regular practice, this age is very difficult, unfavorable. First thing is, memory is very short. We cannot remember. Life is very short. Life is short, at the same time, so much disturbed by anxiety, by disease, by natural disturbances, roga shokadi bhi, short life, that is also disturbed by disease and lamentation. Hare Krishna. So, short life, that is also disturbed by disease and lamentation. Just like that verse, Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati na kankshati. So on the liberated plane, no lamentation. But on the conditioned plane, lots of lamentation. Oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. I didn't achieve this, I didn't achieve that. So, he says, every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Oh, roga shokadi bi, and disease. This body is a breeding ground of all kinds of disease. Life is short and is so much disturbed. So how it is possible to practice? So here's the heart of the matter now. So how is it possible? We're disturbed. Our memories are shot. Of course, there's verses in the Bhagavatam that talk about this, how in this age, all the different qualities that are manda sumanda matayo. So anyway, he says, therefore, this one practice, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice, and praying to Krishna. Please give me strength. Hare, O energy of Krishna. O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. That's all. I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying, but I am failing. all these appeals should be made. So I'm going to repeat these because, you know, this is like Prabhupada's giving us here a method of approach to chanting the holy name. There's a lot of talk about how to chant, but this is Prabhupada's formula, that we approach Krishna like this, praying, please give me strength. O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying, but I am failing. So he says all these appeals should be made. So these appeals to Krishna, please, I haven't got anything in the way of qualifications. I'm weak. I'm trying. But that's important. We have to try. But he says, I'm trying, but I'm failing. He said all these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all-powerful. He can do anything. Even we do not perform, trying our best. If we fail, Krishna will help us, just like a child tries his best, but he falls down. The mother takes up and says, all right, come on, walk, like that. So this is a nice meditation in trying to take shelter of the holy name, because this, he says, this is the main focus. This one practice, he says, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice. And praying for strength. So this regular practice, this is very important. Now, this next section comes from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. On a similar theme, it also gives hope to those of us who are in the third class position, or perhaps even in the second class position. I can't speak for anybody else, or even in the first class position. But here he's giving hope to those who are not so advanced in this writing. This is from a purport to verse 36. It says, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So a person who's practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, even though he has an unwilling attitude, it says he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Purport. There are three divisions of devotees, first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. Now, he uses this expression three or four times in this purport. Imperceptibly liberated means that even though you're not aware of it, you know, sometimes we think, well, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. Well, you may not know. You may not feel like you're getting anywhere, but Krishna is giving you credit. So, imperceptibly, you're being elevated in Krishna consciousness. And arjas are being removed. So many things are happening in a subtle way. We may not be so aware, but it's taking place. Sometimes other people can see it better than we can. But the point is, imperceptible means it's not perceivable by us, but we're gradually becoming liberated. Prabhupada goes on to write, this is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity is in his original state as Brahman because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya, otherwise he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. So, that verse, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jima namam naskuru. This verse is actually cited twice in Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter and the 18th chapter. At least Brahmananda, of course, a lot of people talk about this verse is the most important, that verse is the most important. I know Brahmananda Prabhu once told me that Prabhupada told him that this verse, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jima namaskuru, this is the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita, because it's repeated twice, halfway through and at the end. So, in any case, this method, become Krishna's devotee, offer him homage, bow down to him, this is the method. And it says that one who follows this becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shradayanvita, with great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees. So much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position, above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Shukadev Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations and by the aroma of Tulsi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here the word vilas is very important. Sorry about this. Vilas refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time, he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. His form... In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, his form, his activities, and his transcendental nature. So, janma karma cha me divyang evang yo veti tattvataha tyaktva dehang punarjanma naiti mang eti. So, Arjuna. So, it says, this state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. One, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. Three, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Four, to see the decorated temple and the deity. And if possible, five, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation. Now, this is the final statement of this purport. He says that third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literature. So, these are hopeful statements. Even it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion that we should hope against hope. Is that Asha Bhanda, isn't it? Asha Bhanda. So we should be like that. We shouldn't be discouraged. We should be hopeful. It's a fact, in one sense, you could say that if we thought, oh, well, if I'm going to be imperceptibly liberated, well, maybe I don't have to try so hard. That probably wouldn't be a very good psychology. So that Krishna may keep us in a slight doubt that, maybe there's not much hope. But actually, when we're praying to Krishna in that mood, as Prabhupada describes in this verse about the mood of chanting, I have no qualification. I'll just read it again. I really like it. I hope that I'm not boring you with it. But Please give me strength. O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen, I have no strength. Please accept me, I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying, but I am failing. So if we stay in that mood and try our best, then we should have all hope of achieving the mercy of the Lord. Everything is possible if Krishna grants his mercy. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. By the mercy of the spiritual master in Krishna. What is it? Krishnadas Kaviraj says, even a lame man can walk, a blind man can see. So this is our great hope. Earlier on in the purport, it was mentioned. Actually, could you pass out some of these to the ladies? Some song sheets. You might have to share. I don't know if I've got enough for everybody. And somebody over here. So, we mentioned earlier there was this nice song. Oh, I need one of those. I need one. Thank you. So I was thinking that we could sing this song as a meditation, because in this song, Narottam Das Thakur talks about the disease that we're afflicted by, or the bad habit, Vishaya. Vishaya chodiya kabe shudha habe man. Kabe hama herabo shrivanandhava. So this is a very nice song by Narottam Das Thakur. Nice meditation on praying to the Lord for his mercy so that we may be able to enter into this higher realm of consciousness. Yeah, if somebody can follow me. I'm not all so easy to follow sometimes, but that's because I'm not a very good singer. But anyway, I like to sing this song.
Goranga bolite habe Pulaka sharir Hari hari bolite nayan Ne babini Pulaka sharir Hari hari bolite nai yane bhavini ara kabeni tai chande karuna hoi be sangsara basana mora Kabe tu chabe Vishaya choriya kabe shudhabe mana kabe amaherbo shri vrindavan Vishaya choriya kabe Vishaya choriya kabe shudhabe man kabe amaherabo shri vrindavan Paragunata Pade Koibeya Kuti Kabehama Bujabose Jugala Piriti Rupa. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahumora Asha Prarthana Koroe Sada Narottamo Das. Narottamo Das Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babinir Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babinir Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babinir Vishaya choriya kabe shuda habe mannanam habe amaerava shri vrindavan vishaya Shri Vrindavan Goranga Bolite Habe Pulaka Sharir Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babinir Goranga Bolite Habe Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It doesn't quite fit, but Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So I'm going to read the purport by Srila Prabhupada, if I can find it. Ah. This song was sung by Narottam Das Thakur, great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, the disciplic succession coming down from Lord Chaitanya. Narottam Das Thakur has written many songs which are recognized as authoritative by all Vaishnavas. He has sung these songs in simple Bengali language, but the purport, the deep meaning of his songs is very significant. In this song he says, Gauranga bolite habe pulaka sharira. One has attained the perfection of chanting when as soon as he chants the name of Lord Gauranga, who initiated this Sankirtan movement, at once there is shivering in his body. This is not to be imitated, but Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will that opportune moment come to us, when there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? And after the shivering, Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Bhavinir, while chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. Then he says, Ar Kabe Nitai Chander Kuruno Ebe. We are all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is supposed to be the original spiritual master, so we have to approach Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. What is the symptom of a person who has achieved the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda? Narottam Das Thakur says that the symptom of one who has actually received the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he has no more material desire. Ara kabe nitai chander karuno hebe, sangsara bhasana mora kabe tucha hebe. Sangsara bhasana means desire for material enjoyment. And Narottam Das wonders when it will become very insignificant. So we may wonder like that. When will it become very insignificant? Of course, as long as we have bodies, we have to accept so many material things, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, but only to keep body and soul together. Narottam Das says further, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis? Akuti means eagerness, because Rupa Goswami is the father of devotional service. He has written a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which there are nice directions on devotional service. These topics are also dealt with in Chaitanya Charitamrita and another book, and other books. And we have given the summary of those directions in our book Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One has to learn of the conjugal loving affairs of Radha Krishna through the teachings of these six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur directs us not to try to understand the conjugal love of Radha Krishna by our own endeavor. We should try to understand this jugala priti under the direction of the Goswamis. As long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thought, one cannot enter into the kingdom of Vrindavan. But Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya choriya kobe shudahabe man. Kabe hama herabo, Sri Vrindavan. When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. So this verse and purport that we've read today from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about... It makes reference to this song in that first paragraph where he says, or second paragraph, where it says, Narottam Das has said for our benefit that one can perfectly see the Dhams only when one completely gives up the mentality of lording it over material nature. So this tendency, which we described at the beginning, this tendency to see matter, that I am the Lord of all I survey, the Lord, the enjoyer, the controller, as long as we have this mentality, we're trapped. So we try to give that up by very sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord and praying to the Lord for his mercy and continuing that practice sincerely throughout our lives. Then that imperceptible liberation may be granted to us. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions or comments, yes.